Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson and from lockdown Melbourne, it's Hump Day with Swanee and friend Samantha Richards, and let's give him his full title, revered magpie figure, Dane Swan.
Is that my title, is it?
That was the title of the age.
Oh, is it? It's better than being called. Better than what I get called on Twitter, so we'll cop that.
I read some of the articles. I didn't read them all because I'm not into clickbait. Just if I'd seen a preview, I'd like read the preview. And I like the fact that they have to give you, because you've been out of the game a little while, Dane, they have to give you a little bit of Dane Swan, former Magpie, Premiership player, Anzac Day, like they have to give you a bit of a rap beforehand. But your rap is so good, so it doesn't matter what you say afterwards. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm pretty good, so you can't say much about me.
Trying to stay relevant to him, you know.
Well, this was the point. This is what I get. Like, all you did was give your opinion on a podcast, and for the previous week and a half, everyone was saying to you, oh, you just try to stay relevant. And then you gave your opinion and you make headlines. So,
what was the opinion about?
About the board. Board.
Yeah, well, just proves.
You are still relevant.
Well, listen, to all my heads, I particularly don't want to be super relevant either, but.
Say it.
But what? I don't need to say anything, Ralph. Like, it's your. But, you know, unfortunately.
No matter what you do, you're always relevant, yeah?
Well, it seems going that way. maybe it's just a slow news week. We are in lockdown, so there's not a lot to talk about. But, it is what it is. It is what it is.
It is.
I thought the funniest part was the judo where Peter Ryan did the article, was that he had to listen to half an hour of our shit before we got to the actual news bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if they get paid.
I'm still getting
to listen to our show.
Yeah, he would. I know. Pete just spent a year at the footy club writing a book. So I'm calling one, I'm pretty sure. If it's not, I apologise, but I'm pretty sure it was him. he spent a fair bit of time at Collingwood writing a book on Collingwood, so. I know him. I'm still getting replies to like all the political stuff I said. Like, mate, that was last week's, mate. What did they say? Like, yesterday's news is tomorrow's fish and chip paper or something like that. Like, people still got to grow up with it. So, mate, I completely don't care anymore. It is what it is. We're going to be locked down for another month, so that's fine. So, we just got to deal with it.
Actually, it's interesting because that's where it has changed because, of course, you know, let's face it, that saying about newspapers, about, you know, fish and chip wrappers. But, there's an England fast bowler who's come through, found to have a sexist tweet from 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Who has to miss a week because they found a tweet from 8 years ago. So, unfortunately, if people want to hold things against you, they're it's not fish and chip wrapper.
Yeah, I know. The two tweets, a sexist one and a racist one. And what was he, 18 at the time or something, 16?
Yeah.
Like all the Muslim cricket players he's played with now said, mate, like, it's, you know, very obviously don't forgive what he done, but let's move on. It was 8 years ago. Like, he's a young kid. Like, no one's allowed to make a mistake anymore. Like, the world we live in, they have to be cancelled and never be able to make a dollar in their life again. Like, it's incredible. Thrown in the gulag, as they say. But, yeah, it's just the world we live in, unfortunately. So, like, all these young kids, I'm sure, if I was managing them before, like, I get drafted, it'd be like, wipe your socials clean. Because, like, imagine the general's job it is to scroll back through every single, like, 17-year-old, 18-year-old tweet. And listen, we've all been there. We're not very smart at 17, 18.
Absolutely.
Thank God social media wasn't around.
Exactly, exactly. imagine the shit you'd be saying. So,
well, we talked about this off-air, Dane, but for those who don't know, Dane doesn't have a Facebook. And my partner and I were going through, like, when it brings up your memories on this day, like 12 years ago, some of his Facebook statuses from 12 years ago are so fucking cringe that we have the biggest laugh about it. So I used to write the most long, in-depth, heartfelt, gross Facebook statuses. Do yourself a favor, everyone, and go into your Facebook and have a look at some of your statuses from like 11, 12 years ago. You'll cringe at yourself. Let alone these
sure people
kids.
Don't want to do that. I've no interest in hearing or listening to what I was saying fucking yesterday, let alone when I was 18, 19 years ago.
And let's face it, 20, all your mistakes from that era, everyone's happy to tweet to you on a daily basis.
Yeah, they'll let you know.
Exactly, exactly. It's all fun. It's all fun.
Absolutely. Hey, I just want to ask one thing about that Collingwood election, as in no election. Should there be an election if there's two factions? Or you don't even understand that bit?
Well, what do you mean? Like, as I understand, wouldn't the people have to, whoever is allowed to vote, will have to vote on who they want to be president? Would that be?
I don't even know that far, but basically, yeah. what they're saying is there shouldn't be an extraordinary general meeting called because it's a waste of club resources.
Yeah, exactly.
But members are saying, well, we want the opportunity to vote. I'm not saying they should, but I'm saying.
I can't see you, Ralph.
You can't see me?
No, you.
Well, there's a win.
You're a shadow.
Yeah, because I've got the sun in the background.
Okay, it's quite annoying, but that's all right.
All right, hang on a minute.
No, that's fine. Now I've got the sun. I'd just like to see your pretty face, Ralph. No, it's better. It'll do. It's about as good as you're going to look.
I know. can't make strawberry jam out of all shit.
Yeah, they're the AGM. You know the difference between jam and marmalade is, you know?
We do those ones at the end of the show, don't we?
Yeah, sorry.
Cholesterol and fat?
Yeah. I think it's a waste of their time. There's an AGM every year for that to be done for, I would imagine, honestly, I don't know the ins and outs of it. Like, I would imagine most people don't because it's unnecessary thing to happen. It's a waste of club resources, and it's just after they've had a decent win on the weekend, just another way to derail off the field, which eventually trickles down on the field. So I think they just leave it for the AGM, but then again, I could be wrong and it can't happen at the AGM. But then if it can't happen at the AGM, why do we have them?
That's true. So more of the point on field, what did you see? What did you see that can make people happy?
Sam's left us. No, good on her. Where's she gone?
Yeah. Well, she's got a bed being delivered at some stage.
Yeah.
Well, you went through this, didn't you, pre-baby?
Pardon?
You went through this pre-baby. Sam's back, by the way.
Getting a bed? Yeah, we got a bed.
Well, as in getting everything.
Well, getting everything hasn't stopped, Ralph. You've got kids, you should know. Like, it just doesn't stop. We've got everything plus one in this house, and it's still not enough. We've got boxes that have been open for 6 months. Fucking three boxes right to my left in the spare room from Pottery Barn Kids. I don't even know what that is.
You haven't opened it?
Okay. Just, mate, it's ridiculous. I don't know how we've got. No wonder we had to buy a storage unit and all my shit has to go in it.
Give Sam some advice here, because what type of things did you get lots of, and then you become a parent and you think, actually, I need lots more of this? Just a daily delivery service.
Oh, yeah, that's all what happens. We get everything delivered.
Well, he wouldn't know what he doesn't need because he hasn't even opened the fucking boxes that's sitting next to him. Do you actually not know what's in them? How do you not know?
It says Pottery Barn Kids. That's what it says.
Do you want me to flick you my address, Dane, and you can just forward them on? I'll just get all your overflow.
Then it'd be like bloody Homer chasing that taxi down the road with the Flanders with the golf clubs and jumps on the like Taylor. But no, everything's okay. We haven't got the new bed, which is great. That's probably the best thing we've had because Taylor can like elevate her side because we've got two king singles next to each other.
Right.
So
different temperatures.
Yep. Like massage and like one, they can both go up and down and like go to zero gravity, so Taylor can breastfeed in the night without having to crack the shit. So we're being elevated. Had a bit of a bad night's sleep last night, but you know, I'm here. We're here doing this.
You're not chest feeding yet?
Thank you, Dane.
No, I'm not. No. Non-birthing parent is not chest feeding. So this, you know what the highlight of my week was? Discussion of my week was like, went for a jog and that, and then went for a walk, took baby for a walk. Not that he walks, he just fucking gets carried, the lazy asshole, but.
You've got to teach him to walk first, Dane.
Well, when I got a bottle of water from the servo, which another thing is why we pay for bottled water when it's free.
Yeah.
Most places is beyond me. But do you have, like, when you go to, do you get the same bottled water everywhere you go, or do you mix it up, or do you like, I can only drink this water?
Am I brand loyal? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Water.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Sam?
No, you're not.
No, because I'm the same as you, Dane. Like, I never want to pay for water. So if on the off chance I'm absolutely parched and I have to buy water, I'll just buy the cheapest water.
Yeah, because I think, like, Taylor likes a particular brand of water. Well, I guess I'll probably
what's your brand?
Probably go for Mount Franklin or Fiji for no particular reason. So I don't reckon I could taste them in a water lineup. But
you should do it. There's your next lockdown list.
That was Taylor reckon she can taste the difference between the water, which has got me fucked. But
can you taste the difference between water when you go to different states, Dane? Because I can when I come back from Perth.
Yeah, tap water water you can. Like tap water in the States. Obviously, the tap water in Bali is a bit different to the tap water in Australia.
Yes, correct. Don't drink that.
Talking bottled water, chilled water. It's pretty similar, I think. So that was the highlight of the week.
That's been a huge week.
Yeah, it's been massive.
Would your diary have been a bit different if we weren't in lockdown and you were talking to people and playing footy?
I'd be going to Tassie this week. Yeah, is this Queen's birthday weekend? Yep. I'd be going to Tassie this weekend. So, yeah, my charity work has ceased. So I'd like to thank the government for that. I wonder when do you think local footy will come back?
Hopefully within a couple of weeks.
Who knows?
We're recording this Wednesday morning, and apparently there's going to be some good news. But anyway, more to the point though, so what are you going
to... There's nothing more to the point than when local footy is returning. That's all I care about.
This is part of it. Are you going to have to declare all this to the Dane Swan Foundation board about the... how much harder it is for your charity work?
Yes. And Taylor sits at the top of that board.
Barney?
And Tate's right underneath her.
Where's Dano?
Dane's not even on the board.
Dane.
I'm a peasant. But, that's been a slow month, guys. It's been a slow month.
That's true.
I do feel for you,
and
Dane.
It looks like it'll... it looks like it'll be another slow, what? How long before you reckon we're all the way out? 6 weeks?
Minimum. All the way out. But that doesn't mean there won't be some local footy and stuff. So
No, I'm talking about like fully out like we were 3 weeks ago.
If it goes much longer, guys, I'd like to apologise in advance because I feel like Ralph's going to start spruiking shit stubby holders and merch again. So
yeah, we might have to bring the merch back.
It's still there.
And start doing lists.
starting with Dane's water list.
Yeah.
We can't do lists.
So
I think you owe the people a UDL list though, Dane. So we've got some content up our sleeves if they keep us locked up.
A couple of things I was planning on doing, but I just can't be fucked, Sam. That's probably the thing. I was going to say, I'm actually meant to be going to Queensland on the 26th. What are the chances that happens?
26.
Large. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get there for sure.
You'll be able to get there?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's good news, guys. Thank you.
Are you going? Are you meant to be going by yourself?
On the Saturday, meant to be going up there for some charity work.
Yes.
And then Sunday, yep, playing as well. And then Sunday, going to State of Origin. And then Monday, the girls and the kids are coming up. We're going to, well, until everyone wear, but for a week, well, for probably 10 days. Yeah, trying to get away.
Nice.
Whether that happens or not, who knows? But
the travelling separately things, I think, a risky thing. Given all of a sudden, if they shut the border, you're
Oh no, be a real shame, Ralph. yeah.
No, because no, Dane, what you'll have to do when you come back is the quarantine for 2 weeks in your own house.
Damn, I won't be coming back. So,
well, you're not a board member.
No, exactly. I won't be coming back until we're good to go. And as on my chart, I need to be able to get to Country Victoria next Saturday. What a chance does that have?
Next Saturday.
Some, hopefully.
There's a chance.
So that's my charity work. Next week is in Maryvale, I think a bloke wrote in a question last week where I was coming. So that is meant to be next Saturday. If we're allowed, for anyone in that area listens to this, I'll be down there, and then the week after Brisbane, and then my charity work might be salvaged for June or half. But anyway, we'll see how we go.
Well, that could help the Dane Swan Foundation if they do move the grand final to Perth.
Yeah,
you could talk to a lot of people over there.
Exactly. Do you think we deserve? Victoria doesn't deserve the grand final at the moment, does it? What would you say? It has to be 80% for Melbourne. Surely in fucking, what is it, June, July, August, September, that's 4 months. Surely by then we'll be out of it. Surely. We cannot possibly go to another one. How many times can they bungle this fucking thing?
Well, that's what it all comes down to. It would need nothing to go wrong between now and then to have the grand final. But the problem is, being a major event, with major events, you need certainty when you're programming things. So,
yeah, listen, I've been as staunch as anyone saying that MCG is a home of football. Bad luck if you're from Perth, Queensland, Tassie, Fiji, wherever. If you make the grand final, you got to play it on grand final day in Melbourne because it's a home of football, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck about it. It's a national game anymore. But, I can't argue with anyone that says it deserves to be somewhere. And I think Optus would be the obvious answer. Like, they did an amazing job. And I'm as parochial as anyone about my state and hating Western Australians, South Australians, everything. But you have to give them credit where credit's due. Like, they did an incredible job with Dreamtime at the G or whatever, Dreamtime at the Wacko, Optus, whatever it's called, at Optus. It was awesome. I think it was the most watched game in so many years, 7 years or something like that. So, and they did an incredible job with it. Essendon obviously rose to the – Richmond obviously rose to the big game, just like I thought they would. It was about the only one I got right all weekend. But I got it
well,
right.
You did say Matt Sides was in trouble this weekend.
Exactly. I told everyone it was a tough week to have a bet. But I got that one right. But, I think that if we're not looking like we're going to give it, I think whenever they decide, I think Optus is the way to go. I'd try and get myself over there for a bit of charity work, Ralph, as you know. Exactly.
And a night game would be better. Just why again?
And that's where I was going with. I'd absolutely think it should be a night game or at least a twilight over there.
Because it looked better?
Yeah, absolutely. The lights,
any other reason?
No, what do you mean, Ralph? I'm here for the people. People might go into an epileptic fit with all the fucking lights and things and flashing lights that are going around, but... Like, how much better did that stadium look at night doing that than if it did it during the day with that? It clearly doesn't have the same pop. So, in my opinion, I absolutely think Perth deserve the granny if we can't get our shit together.
Yep.
And they deserve our politicians.
The other thing, though, that got me was filling the joint is such a big tick for the national competition because, honestly, and I'm talking about back in the days of the footy show, when we go over there, they would be obviously rapid about Eagles versus Dockers, let's say late 90s, early noughties. But yeah. they didn't actually care about any other games. Like the Crows had a natural kick of Vic and all that, but Perth didn't really have that hatred of Victoria. They just didn't care. Now that the love to fill that stadium was just such a good thing for the national comp.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is WA obviously have a pretty big Indigenous community, which I think was absolutely fantastic. They all come out and supported it. So I believe, and I have no doubt, they're mad football. Like, they don't have any other sports. They've got the basketball, but, they're obviously a mad AFL state. And like I said, I think they do a fantastic job at hosting the granny just for a once-off. But I wouldn't get any ideas thinking it'll be shared around every year, like the Super Bowl or something like that. We'll get all the vaccines, it'll come back to Melbourne. But if they announce tomorrow that the granny will be in Perth, I'd have absolutely zero problem with it.
Well, do you think, Sam, being a Perth girl, doesn't fall?
I'm in two minds at the moment about Perth. I think there's a real there's a divide between Perth people and Eastern States people. So there's a sense of arrogance that comes out of it. So part of me wants them to have it because it's good for the game, but the other part of me is like that people over in Perth are so anti this side of Australia that I feel like I don't want them to have it just out of principle, if that makes sense. But it was like you both points that you've raised, great to see the stadium completely filled. It was such a spectacle at night time. Turned into a wonderful game. I couldn't fault it. It was awesome. Awesome game to watch too. Like, same with you, Dane. It was one of the only ones that I got right. But like being over in Perth with the travel and all the coronavirus restrictions that have happened, I wasn't sure how the game was going to be played, if it was going to be a shit one, if either team were actually going to stand up. But it was a great game for four quarters. So it was great in all aspects, from entertainment through to football. It was awesome. So if they're in the running for the grand final this year, then I have a strong suspicion that they'll get it, unfortunately.
You mentioned the Indigenous community, Swanee. How are you reading what's happened with Goodsy?
Oh, mate. Well, a bit like everyone else, I completely understand. And it's his right. He doesn't have to want to go in it. Obviously, he doesn't want footy to be a part of his life, and the way he was treated by the fans and the AFL in the last three or four, however many years it was, 2 years, he's obviously unhappy with, and he's got every right to be unhappy with it. So not that he needs me fully supporting his decision, nor does he need anyone. But, I completely understand where he's coming from. And, it is what it is. Some people don't care about those kind of things. He never really played footy for the recognition or for recognition of the AFL. So good on him. He's a man that sticks to his guns and isn't going to bow to the pressure of, bow back the end of the AFL because they're inviting him into their Hall of Fame. So good on him. Obviously, one day I'd love to see him go in there because he is clearly as deserving as anyone. He'd probably be a legend at some stage, considering what he's done. But whether that's 20 years down the track where maybe his kids are a bit older or somebody wants, I don't know, who knows. And if times change for him or he's just resolute in the fact that the AFL can get fucked and he wants nothing to do with them, which is great. I think, it's sad that he's not in it, but I don't think Goodsy thinks it's sad. He's just like, well, no, why should I come back to you guys because you want me in the Hall of Fame? They treated him wrong and he hasn't forgotten it and, that's about it.
What was your recollection as a player when it was happening?
The booing stuff?
Yeah.
I don't have an opinion on much, but I think most of the players kind of knew I had a rough idea that it was probably had racial undertones. What I mean? Like a lot of people saying, they'll boo him because he's a sook I think that was the narrative, wasn't it? He complains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but I think anyone with half a brain kind of understood it was that had racial undertones. So, I felt sad for him. But as a player, you're in an unfortunate spotlight. You can't stop the game. You can't stop the fans from booing. You can't kick everyone out of booing because you can't kick out at 70,000 people, So, But yeah, we understood as players that unfortunately it was probably a racial untouch, which is just sad because a legend of the game should never be treated like that, whether you think he is a sook or whether he was as white as me and being a sook, you don't, I don't know, like who's one of the big sooks? Like, you know, there's been plenty of them and they don't get booed. They never got booed like Goodsy. So, so I was sad. But, you know, he's moved on and he's very happy in life and doesn't have any interest in being a part of the AFL, which is completely fine. It's his decision. I don't think we need to spend days and weeks commenting on it about why he should or shouldn't accept it. It's his decision. No one else needs to know why unless he wants to come out and say why the exact reasons are. We should just accept it, move on, and they'll invite him next year and probably every year after for fucking the rest of his life until he accepts it or not.
On a more happier tone, even though it involves us getting it completely wrong, you must be very sad about Carlton just sort of tapering.
Even when they lose, they still fuck me because I have. Because if you listen to the other podcast, we both had a
best bet.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Sam, by the way, we can't call this episode even when they lose, they still fuck me. I don't think that'll get through.
No.
It's the best title.
Well, they're not going well. They're only one game above the Pies. I looked at the ladder for a long time. Looked at it a couple of days ago. And they're only one game above the Pies. And Pies are only two games outside the eight.
Can I ask why this surprises you, Jane? Because it also surprises me. But I wonder
two games outside of nine.
Can you tell me why it surprises you that they're only
what surprises me?
That Carlton are only two games above Carlton. Carlton are only two games above Collingwood.
They're only one game because the narrative is that how Collingwood have, and rightfully so, Collingwood have been horrible this year and they deserve a kicking, but Carlton have just meant to have been on the improve and meant to have, you know, done this, but they just can't seem to win the last quarter. I thought they were a chance. Harry Mackay going down really hurt me. When that happened, I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
I thought you were going to say Harry Mackay going down really hurt them, but you said me.
That's a bad thing.
I don't care about Carlton and their fucking fans. I don't care about anyone apart from my Sportsbet account. But yeah, have they got a buy this week?
Yes.
They have.
Yeah, they have. yeah. I reckon, who do they play the week after? GWS will maybe that's a tough game to pick, but yeah, mate, the Blues. Sam Walsh is. I don't think they've got any. Like their young talent doesn't. I don't know where they think all this young talent is. Like to me, the big clubs, the best young talent is at Essendon. I think that's glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
I don't need to name them all because I won't remember their names, but. Watching Essendon, like their young talent, do things in games where you're like, ah, fuck, okay. Well, and the thing is, people say Essendon going to be good in 3 or 4 years or whatever. But the thing is, like your projection of how good you're meant to be is not a given. So just because you look at them and go, these kids are going to be stars in 3 or 4 years. They might never get any better. They might get injured. They might digress. A lot of things happen. So the projected ability of where these players are meant to get to, you know, very rarely do they all get there. So things will happen along the way. They might just not get any better. People will go past them, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at the current projection of what the young players are doing from, say, the big three clubs, four clubs, Essendon stand out far and above everyone's houses. But that is not a given, meaning that they will all get to absolute elite players, but then I think probably Collingwood's starting to look like they're rivaling Carlton's because clearly the best young player is Sam Walsh, if you can call him a young player.
Yep.
He's probably like the best young player in the league. Like he should be the captain of Carlton because it's gone by Cripps and Doherty and stuff like that. They're shells of the former selves, unfortunately. But you know, Collingwood Poulter showed something on the weekend. Trent Bianco kicks the ball beautifully. does it well. Dacos, we're going to have the next Dacos next year.
Can you just talk us through that point system, how that works again?
Yeah, no, well, I'm planning, hoping Collingwood finish on the bottom, because I was speaking to someone a couple of days on the weekend, and like, if they finish on the bottom, they get the first pick, then they get Dacos as the father's son.
Right.
I think, because they don't need to use that first pick because it's already there. So if they finish, they should tank, finish on the bottom, then they get pretty much the first two picks from what I've been told.
I reckon for the Demons, can I just tell you that deliberately try to finish on the bottom of the ladder, is it a really good strategy going forward?
Yeah, well, look at the D's, mate. They don't have a weakness, do they?
No.
But they're going very, very well. And wouldn't it be unbelievable to see Melbourne win a flag for Neil Danaher? Absolutely incredible. But I guess we'll talk about the Freeze, will we? But just on counting that log, before I finish up on them, they seem to have all the same stocky, small midfielders that don't have any pace apart from Sam Walsh. I don't know who they've drafted. It's any good. They've obviously got Saad and Williams in.
On that note, I want to ask you this specifically because I heard some really good commentary and I'm watching it thinking, well, all right, I've never played it, but I've watched it closely enough and professionally.
I've played it. At a pretty high level.
So Williams and Saad, you've often said that, defensive pressure doesn't win Brownlows. But when you're on the half-back line and you've got a young kid that's been left high and dry on Liam Ryan, don't you think someone there should be taking a bit more accountability than leaving a kid on the best Eagles player that ended up carving him up?
Yes, absolutely. I think I think that's got to do with leadership. Like, I know at Collingwood, when we were flying at our best, the back six would sort themselves out. And I'd imagine that's like most good clubs. The back six go down there, and they'd obviously talk during the week, ideal matchups, but obviously games move and people get fucking shifted in different positions and people play high and low and people feel different. So, like, generally your back six go down there and like, right, I'll take him, you stay high, I'll drop off this defender. But, and they talk about it and well, they feel comfortable where some, I don't know, so I'm not in Carlton's match committee, obviously. If they want me there, I'm happy to go down and talk to them. But surely at some stage when Ryan's, Fine Ryan's one of my favourite players to watch, but geez, I was hating him on the weekend. Like, he's a special talent. Every time Carlton gets close, he would fucking do something really annoying. Correct.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
But, like, surely at some stage, like, and Saad, and listen, they might not be, and Doherty, they're the three backs who play down there, who old senior figures. Wiedering obviously can't play him because he's a tall. But surely the leadership down there, seeing your bloke has to go, righto, move over, I'm going to stop him and I'm going to shut him down and don't worry about having 30 kicks. We need to win this game. The second half, I think they'll go down or something. I'm going to nail him. I'm going to stop my offensive run. I'm going to actually defend someone because, funnily enough, the people with the most leg rope who don't play anyone are the half backs. They don't play anyone in any position on the ground. So, first of all, I would imagine if I was an assistant coach, so Rotto, your job first and foremost is to stop your man. Wouldn't that be a pretty simple direction from a back coach to talk to their backman?
Would think so.
I would think it'd be a pretty basic fucking first rule of playing in the back line. Is to stop your man, beat him one-on-one. That would be probably the first rule. And then run off. That's what I would imagine would happen. But they're just too offensive, or they just don't care enough about winning games. They just want to, they've been paid big money and they just want to go and have 30 every week. Now, they've got a lot of other deficiencies, but yeah, you would think defending would be a primary fucking objective of the back six, and they don't do it. So until they do it, Weeding's obviously very good, but they're going to have to lock down or move them out of the back line, play people who will just fucking lock down, and or maybe they're just playing these young kids, they know they can't play finals, and they're giving them experience so next year and the year after they get better. Now, who knows, but...
There's one other thing you touched on there about the Carlton's being so-called overrated or their young list because of draft. I think it's because of draft picks. Can I tell you the difference between punters in racing and draft picks, right? And tell me if I'm wrong here. So if a horse goes for $1 million at the yearling sales and then has its first start and gets beaten 10 lengths, no one is going to put their money on that horse because it's their own money and say, well, this horse is really fucking slow, but I'm going to have $100 on it because it went for $1 million at the yearling sale. But at a footy club, there's all these pressures from the recruiting people say, oh, you better keep playing this kid because I picked him pick three or I picked him pick six. So first round draft picks often get more looked after better than they probably should once their talent is realized.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like you said, and fans are like, well, what's he doing? He was our first round draft pick. He's been useless. And then I guess it's, what would happen then? The difference is the people who buy the horses, like the owners, don't have to answer to the fans or don't have to answer to the punter who's throwing $100 on. They don't go to an AGM and go, "You bought that fucking thing for $1 million, and I've backed it the last 10 races because it was $1 million yearling, and that hasn't won a race." They've got fans go, "Well, fucking bad luck, not my fault." Well, it is their fault, but like where the footy club has to answer at an AGM or has to answer to the fans, or the recruiter has to answer to the board, why did you recruit him? He's a dud, you know. So I guess that's probably different. So they probably throw him in to give him games, but
and then they're ranked
it's pretty obvious if you don't have it, you don't have it.
Sorry, the media noise then
recruiting.
Yeah,
apart from Sam Walsh, which was lucky they got number one. He's a star, and Harry Mackay. There's not too many of the young kids there that you look at and go, fuck, he's actually got some. They all look the same. They look small, stocky, no speed. Don't take the game on, just all just plot around. They don't have any game breakers in there, but, you know, not many do.
And just at the other end of the ground and combining this with the St Kilda game and the Collingwood game.
Well, can I
Carlton
just go back?
Like shit at goal.
Can I go back to that point? Just Jane, just a question from someone who's not as obviously football minded. We saw the Carlton assistant coach walk yesterday. He's left the club effective immediately, and based on what you were just saying, some of those decisions could possibly have been his decisions regarding, you know, changing up who was playing on Liam Ryan, etc. But how much of this responsibility at the club, because Carlton and Collingwood, which you just said are just outside the eight and they're close to each other, they're the two teams that seem to be in the spotlight for is the coach going to have a job next year?
We're 15th and 16th, so we're a long way from there, but we're only two games from ninth, I looked at. We're four games from eighth, but yeah.
Yeah, so why are they the two teams, firstly, that are being looked at coaching-wise when there are teams that are performing worse? And number two, how much does this actually fall on the players? Because, you know, like you said, they've come through as like first-round draft picks, so they were obviously good at one stage. What's happened to them? Is it their work ethic? Are they not, you know, what are they missing to become duds in their first year? How much is it any of their responsibility at all, or is it all coaching staff and leadership staff?
No, it's absolutely on the players. The development coach, and obviously it's a mixture because the development coaches aren't good enough, or they're not developing in the right way. Is it the footy club? Is there bad culture? Are they not creating an environment where players have got the ability to get better? Whole host of reasons, but ultimately it comes down to the player. If you don't put the work, and I didn't put the work when I was playing early on, I just got very lucky, but do they put the work in? And maybe, well, people go past them. How many, obviously you didn't play for you, but how many kids have you seen at 16, 17, 18 and go, fuck, they're going to be the world's best player as a junior? You're like, he's fucking unstoppable. And then they get to 18, don't grow, don't improve, and everyone else goes straight past them. So I think that's, it's not, well, first of all, it's not the player's fault that they get picked in the top in the first round. Like,
yes, true.
It's not his fault. It's whether he's worthy of a first round or he should be a sixth round or he should be on the rookie list. Like, it's not his fault, but he got drafted there, so the pressure's on him. So, but ultimately, it settles with the player. No matter what you're thinking, come out and say, I didn't get coached well enough, or I didn't get this, I didn't get that. Ultimately, if you want it bad enough, as a player, you'll find a way to make an impact on game day. So, and if they don't, well, you've got no one else to blame but yourself.
So, other end of the ground, they're kicking like shit. I thought the set shot kicking, and all I can look
mate,
at
I was getting so I was nearly about to pump out a tweet. Really, I was like, I don't want to upset anyone else for a couple of days, so I'll just fucking I'll just let the goal kicking slide.
It's especially outrageous.
When I had the overs so in one
bad.
Game and came to have the overs in. Was it the Bulldogs game? That at the end there, they kicked it. They lost it and went under by 4 points or something.
Yep, it was cruel. There's Jack Higgins. So two sides, Carlton possibly, St Kilda definitely, lost because of bad kicking, and Collingwood won, Jamie Elliott, 6 goals straight. So season one, we actually talked some sensible stuff, and the one that got me was Scotty obviously being so big on routine and you saying, no, it's pressure. Absolutely. So where's the middle man?
Oh mate, I was gonna tweet it out, but I firmly believe it's the new rules and the way the footy is played that has made the goal kicking this bad. Because they're such elite athletes, there's no way that all these players, if you watched them at training, like Jack Higgins will obviously have 50 shots of goal, or well, sports science may only allow him to have 3 shots of goal, but he'll go and you watch, he'll kick 6 goals, 1. But you cannot, like, I'm convinced now it is the new rules. Like, the new rules has made the game fast and end to end, and the physical requirements that you need, the physiological and the physical requirements and the anaerobic and aerobic speed you need to be able to have and power to be able to play this game is so demanding, is higher than it's ever been. Once you finally get that ball, you're so fucked, you are so tired that you just don't have it's a mental concentration, or you're so fatigued, you just go back and you just hope to kick the goal. I've got no doubt. So I've got no doubt the new rules are clearly playing a part in why the goal kicking is so bad, because they're absolutely fucked. They run up and down the ground for 7 minutes. They finally get a mark and you're sitting there for 30 seconds holding your breath, your breath, and you've got to go in and kick a goal. So the game is opened up because of these rules, but it is clearly made a difference in the goal kicking, because it's horrible. And they're just so tired that they get there and pressure, and then they get one, they get the yip, and it just snowballs. And then they kind of, like, you can see Jack Higgins, he didn't want to have a shot. He was turning around, going back quickly, you know, just running around straight away, not taking his 30 seconds and thinking about it because it was in his head. But the Saints have got an awful problem, and the Freo have got an awful problem with that, and the Dogs had it on the Sunday too. But I believe it's the speed of the game that is causing the fatigue of the kicking.
Conversely, the Pies, it's just all about soldier in, soldier out, but apparently when you put a good soldier in, you're a better side.
Well, it's because the Pies move the ball so slow. Now, why don't they kick the ball well?
They're not tired.
Yeah, exactly. They're not fatigued. So, but obviously, Jamie coming back. Pies won't win the flag if Jamie stays injury-free.
Mathematically possible?
Well, they're 4 games out, yeah. So, technically it is. It would have been nice to have him, Jeremy Howe, Tay Adams, you know, even Brody didn't play on the weekend. I should have seen Math Science coming. I just whizzed straight past my nose in that game, didn't it? They look good. They started the game moving the ball a lot better, but then they go back into old habits. Now, whether it's old habits or go back into their game plan, who knows? I don't know what the game plan is, but you can see when they take the game on and they move the ball and they handball off half back and they get a bit of run, they look so much better. Look, and this is not every team looks so much better because players are so fit. Like just what we touched on the goal kicking, they're so fit and they move so well defensively as teams. If you move the ball slowly from half back, you can't just mark it from the half back now, look behind you, kick it to the full back and then kick it out the other side. Very rarely does it happen these days because of how fit teams are and how well they all move defensively. So by the time you do that, they're all set up defensively and there's nowhere to go bar that, kick it down the line or turn it over in your half-back line.
Yeah.
But if you get it, try and kick that 15, 20-metre one, you know, on a 45-degree angle handball through or just play on, well, then you can catch defenders unaware or up the ground or out of position. Then
you can get the ball over their heads and you can get an empty forward line, which is what happened on the weekend. So hopefully this gives the Pies a bit of confidence that they can play a bit faster brand of footy, because it is much nicer to watch. And hopefully they get a few more back. And I guess I don't really care if they win a game from now to the end of the year, because what does it matter? You'd rather finish down the bottom and get a better draft pick. But as long as they improve the way
it might matter to the coach coaching for his career.
Correct. Yeah, well, it matters to him. And it matters to the players. Like,
yeah.
All the players want to win and play good footy. They're all winning. They're all playing for a team, but they want a fucking new contract. They want to play well for themselves and for their families and stuff. So hopefully they get a bit of confidence out of that. And mind you, they did play the Adelaide Crows. They were not meant to win a game this year.
Yeah.
So I think the wheels have fallen off the Crows. They've lost, they beat Melbourne. They've lost 7 of their last 8 or something. So I think the wheels have fallen off there. But you know what? When you're second bottom, a win's a win, and they'll take it. Fairly solid challenge coming up this week, I would imagine. But
the D's?
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
What else can we add other than make sure you buy a beanie when you're watching the game if you haven't already bought your beanie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be in Sydney, is it? Yeah, so... Yep. It's a shame.
Like taking away an arm from me, Swanee. There's a Melbourne sport. You haven't got much to look forward to, but Queen's birthday every year. I'm not having it at the G.
Melbourne, as Ed would say, Melbourne's grand final every year, boys. Come down the rooms and go, this is fucking Melbourne's grand final every year.
They might make get sure two we give this it to year.
These arseholes. Oh, yeah, mate. These arseholes, mate. We give them this year. They give them this game every year. They're grand final, boys. We've got nothing. I was like, okay, thanks. Yeah. So, don't worry, I know all about Melbourne's grand final, but I'd imagine they're a very, very big chance of playing another grand in their own proper grand final end of this year. This is Collingwood's grand final this year, but hopefully Sydney wrap their arms around it like Perth did for Dreamtime at the G. I don't know. There's the slide staying in Melbourne, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. Yep.
Which is a shame, because you'd love to see it. You know, you want to go down the slide. Well, I've obviously gone down it. You don't want to go down it where there's no one in the crowd. It doesn't defeat the purpose, obviously, because it's an unbelievable, incredible purpose. But, you know, you want to be with the crowd. You want to be able to go to a function afterwards, have a few beers and sort of enjoy the day, where there's going to be in and out. So it's going to be a little bit different for the slides. But hopefully Sydney get behind it and they do their own version of the slide, or they sell the beanies, or, you know, Sydney can get behind it, you know. Because the one thing, football, we all hate each other's sides when we play each other, and we all complain about different things and have different views and everything. But, you know, the one thing that the AFL is great about is they come together for a great cause, and they usually do it brilliantly, the whole of the AFL, all of the clubs. And if there's a better cause in the AFL than this one, I haven't heard of it yet. So hopefully they do a great job. And I seen a tweet last night, the man you were tagging me off, like, yeah, how Neil hasn't been Australian of the Year yet is incredible. And it's absurd how he has, and I really hope before it's too late and before he goes, whenever that is, he actually gets to be able to see himself not be Australian of the Year, because I think it'll be an unbelievable recognition for him. And he doesn't do it for recognition, obviously, but just to recognise him while he's still here and got his and he's still alive, that you know, he probably transcends more than just football. Like, it's better. Like, it's not just about football anymore. It's what he's done as an Australian, and you know, the money he's raised and the fight he has, because we say it every year, but if it happened to me, I would have fucked off and just been with my family, just doing family stuff till, you know, the day I finished. But, you know, he is out there in the public, keeps fighting for this disease and keeps raising money. And, you know, if there's more, it's been a more inspirational, motivational man in football, well, I'm yet to hear his name. So, yeah, hopefully both states get behind him again. We buy a beanie, and you know, in 20 years, I hope we've all got 20 different beanies, because we keep buying them. But it's a great day. Hopefully Collingwood can rise to Melbourne's level and put on a good show for the day, and we can get within the 31.5.
Well, so, yeah, we'll get to that. All right, some messages from our Insta, from Peter. Have you had the jab yet?
Are you having that, haven't you?
I have. I'll get to you two first.
I'm not eligible, Ralph. How old do you think I am? So,
but how old are you? 37?
Yeah. But I'll obviously get the jab. It's amazing, these people that complain they won't get the jab, but they'll go to Saturday night and stick so much shit up their nose they don't know what it is. All different kinds of pills that And it's made in a fucking in a farm out in the back of Preston or something like that.
Poor Preston.
Yeah, whatever they can, who knows, but they won't take a fucking a vaccine to help rid the world of COVID, which is odd. But anyway, yes, I'll get it as soon as I'm eligible.
What are you? What's the? I know you're younger too, Sam. But what is the situation with pregnant women? Do we know?
We're not allowed. I don't think there's been. Yep. Ordinarily, you can. Like when I went in for my last obstetrician appointment, they said to me, "Have you had your flu shot?" And I said, "No," and it was in my arm before I could start the next sentence because it's important for the baby to get antibodies through me. So having vaccinations that are already widely used is important whilst pregnant. But this one, right. Because there's been no. Like no studies on pregnant women, they're not risking it at all. And I think that will be the same when I'm breastfeeding as well, I'm pretty sure. So I may not be eligible for some time. It doesn't bother me in the sense I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I would get the vaccine for the same reasons that Dane talks about. It's absurd that people are still – I can understand people's hesitancy, but the fact that the more of us are vaccinated – Steve – Dane can't. The more that people get vaccinated, the less it's going to be out in the community. So it's not that I don't want to help that cause. It's just that I don't want to risk my child where I don't have to. So I'm hoping that everyone else kind of goes out and gets it done. And when I'm eligible and it's safe, you know, through to breastfeed and have the vaccination, then I'll also get it done.
Now, this might be a silly question. This might be a silly question, but if all the, lot of the injection rooms, not the, not the injection rooms. I'm not going to go and jab myself with some heroin, but the vaccine rooms are empty. Why won't they just open it up to anyone? Say we're all in lockdown. If like one of the clinics is, why won't they just send out a tweet or something, or fucking on their website or whatever it is on Instagram? Hey, listen, no one's here. Feel free to come down to anyone, and then. Like we're in lockdown, we've got nothing else to do. Surely that 10,000 people could walk up and just get it done while there's no one else there. I don't understand why they wouldn't just do that if.
I don't think vaccine clinics have been empty recently, so that's the difference. But on your point, Perth yesterday said 30 to 49 are okay.
Yeah, okay. Sweet.
So as they have the numbers. But
And the Northern Territory are opening it to kids, well, 16 and up now, and they want to be 12 and up by the end of the year. So they want to have their whole population over 12 vaccinated. But is it a record-keeping thing, Ralph? Is that why? I don't know the answer. You're the brains of this show. I was wondering if you'd have insight on it. What is the reason why they're not
just numbers.
It?
So they've got X amount of vaccines, X amount of stations, X amount of doctors. So while the queues are full, they want people at a certain age group, and then they keep lowering the age group to make it more and more. But at the moment, the queues have been full. At first, they probably should have ramped it up. But as we said, it wasn't until people panicked and said, shit. Because I got mine, it was 15 minutes. I happened to be in the doctors anyway. And I said, you got any? And they said, yeah, we just got a dose. I said, oh, can I have it? Yep, done. So, and then the next week, COVID hit. So it went from a 15-minute wait to for some people, a 2 or 3 hour wait. But no problems whatsoever. So there we go.
When's your second one, Ralph?
3 months because it's AstraZeneca. The other one's, I think, 6 weeks. Just leave it to science. They'll tell you. Would you finish the chips and other food off after getting served a deep fried towel from Jacob? I'll put that one on our Insta.
Yeah, absolutely. What? Oh, mate, you know what? I'd dip the fucking towel in some gravy and see what that tasted like.
Exactly. Have a crack at it. From WRX, if Dane was offered Buddy Franklin money to leave Collingwood, would he have?
Be gone before the ink was dry on the contract.
I was going to say, that was a big pause.
Well,
same manager. That?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Pigger's never fucking come to me with a big offer, the AFL. Never come to me and said, I'm going to hoodwink all of the AFL by sending you somewhere.
Is that the book I can't wait for?
Yeah, Pigger's book.
Yep, the real one.
Yeah. I can wait for it. No problem waiting for it.
Absolutely. From Nate, what's the worst thing about lockdown? Just lockdown.
Fucking bored.
Yeah.
Not working. For me, it's not working. Dane's charity to be not working, surely.
Yeah, my charitable work's gone by the wayside. So that's probably the biggest one. And just not having... my actual life doesn't change a hell of a lot because we're in lockdown. It's just my having the pub and tattoo shop and that'd be open would be nice, but just having the ability to be able to fucking get out of the house for an hour and go sit in the cafe and just get out of your house, having the option to do what you want, like, feels like we're in prison again, as we would all know. Just being able to have the option to go out and see your friends or fucking have a barbecue or fucking just go around and watch the footy with your mates or see your nephew and stuff like that. Just having the option would be nice.
100%. From Izzy, cut or uncut?
What?
What?
I assume he means your son. What'd you say, cut?
Just like you said.
This is the decision I have to make, Dane, now. Let's talk about this. I'm a mum and I don't know what I'm having. What's
yours?
Am I circumcised? That's something that a lady would never tell. But I don't know. Well, like, would you recommend circumcision, Dane?
Yes.
You can't remember it?
I can't remember. I would imagine Ralph would too. Just
Ralph, would you recommend circumcision?
Well, because I'm a 4B too, to use the vernacular. I've brought my kids up Jewish, but my son, that was my only non-negotiable, to be honest. But the best part was I took him to someone called Dr. Skinner. Can't make that up, can you?
It's a decision I'm going to have to make, and I don't think I should be. I think Stephen should make the decision, to be honest.
I took mine to the vaginal liner.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. That is
exactly. Yeah.
From Nathan. Swanee, how good are baby development leaps and sleep regressions?
Oh, God.
If that means no, it's not. They're not good.
They're terrible.
He was a pain in the ass last night, actually, and I couldn't get back. He woke up there in between 4 and 5 somewhere, and I really couldn't get back to sleep. So, yeah, it's not fun. And apparently teething's not great either.
Mm.
All the hard work something else to look forward to. And, Sam, your partner,
I'd actually like to know, when has it actually become fun? Because people go, well, this stage, well, then you've got to worry about this. And then this comes along. Then he's a fucking little asshole because he's starting to do this. Then he's doing this. Then he's doing that. So when has parenting become fun? I'd like to know. Or is it never?
I don't think so. I asked my sister this question the other day, because I'm obviously with the HJ and I'm in my third trimester, I was like, this is just getting harder, when I didn't think it could get harder. When's the good bit? And she goes, there is no good bit. I'm like, why are you telling me this now? I'm 7 months in. She goes, no, it's not easier on the other side either. So they've all fucking lied to us, Dane. All lied.
Not good.
So this is not name dropping, but I was producing SEN Breakfast at the time when my son was born, and about 3 months in, he had one of those horrible nights, didn't sleep a wink the whole night, go to work, eyes hanging out of my head. And I'm complaining, and Tim Watson said, wait till they're teenagers and you're up all night waiting for them to get home. I said, is there going to be any stage where I can enjoy this? So, there you go, from baby to teenagers.
I wonder this with Dane too. Like, they say your kids are vessels of karma. Dane, you've got a bit in store for you.
Yes.
Pardon?
got a bit of karma to look forward to. From Tigers, hey, Swanee, can you give my friend Carly a shout-out tomorrow for her birthday?
Hold on. Sorry, I just had to.
He's in the dark.
Baby and mum were still asleep. I couldn't be fucked going upstairs to get me Apple TV for the basketball. So I just recorded it on the.
Give Carly a shout out. Can you on Twitter for her birthday?
Hey Carly, happy birthday. You know what? Where's the invite to your birthday party? You fucking asshole.
Exactly.
Lockdown.
Bit flat about that, but. Yeah, Carly, thanks for the invite to your birthday. A bit flat, but enjoy your birthday. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Leave it open.
When do I get my shout out, Dane, for my birthday?
When's your birthday? Today?
Yesterday. Monday.
Pardon? It
was Monday.
Happy birthday for Monday. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
Didn't let us know.
Did you put something on Insta?
My Stephen bought me flowers amongst other things. They went up. I'm not big on sharing all the, like, you know this. I find it a little bit self-indulgent.
Didn't let us know you were pregnant. Didn't let us know it was your birthday.
Nothing.
I did let you know I was pregnant. Plus, I rocked up with a huge stomach. How can you miss that?
Just thought you'd eaten a big breakfast.
Yeah. From JT's Will. Dane, never thought of being a commentator. Much better to listen to than most on TV now.
I'd be happy to, but you'd be getting a very different commentary experience. Because – I'd call them out on their bullshit. So some of them make up some stuff, and you're like,
mate, he did not mean that. Or I'd like to do it. It'd be like Gogglebox. I said to you guys, I'd love to be able to do like a live stream where people can watch, have the footy on the telly and then be able to like watch us and maybe get another player in, like not commentate the footy, but just special comments or whatever you want to call it. Just watch like Gogglebox, watch us, watch the footy while the footy's on, you know what I mean? And just be able to, we could talk about it freely, like just like we talk on here. I think that's got legs. I don't know how to do it, nor am I smart enough to be able to figure that out. But if someone knows how to, I think we could trial it one day, but I guess we'd all have to be together on the weekend, and fucking chance of us being allowed to be together on the weekend in Melbourne is fucking very, very slim.
There might be rights thing, but aside from that, what you have opened the door of, and I'm adamant.
I don't know how it's right thing if we're not actually showing the TV, you're just showing us like this, you know what I mean?
I might ask your manager's manager.
Yeah, right.
But more to the point, seriously, if you listen to Triple M, SEN, 3AW, ABC, there's a struck match between them. They all do exactly the same call. I know they've all got different abilities and whatever, but they're all very good callers, very good special comments. They're all doing exactly the same way. There's a big gap for someone to actually do it a bit differently.
Huge gap. And I'm very, very shocked that no one's asked me. Very, very, very shocked.
Little one to finish with, speaking of Triple M, from Nico, is Swanee going to give Nathan Brown the old left-right good night? Are you going to be boxing Nathan Brown?
Dane.
Mate, the Triple M guy?
Yeah.
I've got no idea. Am I? When?
Well, they've been talking up about a charity boxing match. Charity boxing match.
Well, what charity? You know what charity you'd be going to?
Yeah, I was going to say, is the Dane Swan Foundation being spoken to about this?
No.
Really?
Would you
be open to it?
I heard
Wayne Carey weigh in on this, the duck weighed in on this, and he said that no amount of money would make him get in the ring for this charity boxing match, because he goes, win or lose, you're a loser. Because if you win, someone like him wins, it's like, oh, why do you need to get in there? Like, you're just, you know, being a bit of a peacock, strutting yourself around. If you lose, your kind of legacy and your legendary status gets a bit of a tarnish on it. He goes, why would you do that to yourself? So he reckons, he said on the radio, no amount of money. Would there be an amount of money for you, Dane?
Good question, Sam.
Oh, Sam, what do you think?
This is year three. I've never heard you say no amount of money.
I'd fight a pregnant Sam Richards in there. For the right amount of money.
Looking forward to Susie O'Brien taking that.
Yeah, that's going to go wild.
Obviously, and like I watched the Jake Paul fight, Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather, I was sucked into that, and Chad Ochocinco fought on that. Listen, the honest answer is no, I haven't signed anything. I've obviously heard about it, but like no one's actually put anything in front of me to say, would I do it? I have no idea when the date would be. Obviously, I might not be here if we can go overseas. I don't know when it is. And I'm not super keen on doing a fucking 7-week, 6-week fucking, fitness camp to get into shape. So I have to be like two 2-minute rounds or something, you know what I mean? But. There's a fight. Like, there's a price for everyone. So the short answer is yes. Like, there is a price that I would do it for, but like, I'm not doing it for nothing. Put it that way. On the ducting, I'm not scared to fail. Like I did with like the Port Adelaide tour, you know, ages ago. What happens if I lose? What do you think? My life's going to change? Like, Nathan Brown isn't knocking me out, but.
What's the odds Swan versus Brown in the ring?
Well, I've had four fights for four knockouts, so I'm due to get a win.
but, what is the betting market, Swan and Brown?
But I don't know if he can fight or not. I can't. So, but the thing is, I wouldn't have to be good. I just have to be better than him.
That's right.
That's a very good point.
Come on, mate. I couldn't commit to like a fucking. I don't know what his level of discipline that is, but I have zero level of discipline. So, and I don't know when it is. Like,
I don't want to ruin my summer by having to train for fun and not being able to eat and not what. Whether you have to do a weight cut or whether we have to do the same weight, I'm not doing that. So like, there have to be a lot of factors go into it, and it has to be a very, very short fight. But
what would be the overriding factor to go into it?
What do you think? Helping a charity, obviously.
A shitload for the Danes One Foundation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I'm not afraid to fail. Like, I don't care. If he beats me, well, what? Obviously, I get a lot of fuckwits on social media calling me weak as piss and loser. Well, good on me. I'll be walking away, raise a lot of money for charity. So,
Are you worried about damaging your brand?
I could not give. I don't think my brand could be any more damaged, to be honest. So, but the short answer is no. And the short answer, I have not done anything. I've only heard people have asked me that. Someone asked me. Someone texted me on the weekend, and no, I haven't signed anything, nor has anyone come to me and said this is when it's all happening. So at the moment, it's all just hearsay. But like you said, I'm willing to do anything for the right amount of money.
End part one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.